Welcome to Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Podcasts to help you gain and retain good positive mental health.
Hello, it's Dr. Jane here again, and today I want to talk about low self-esteem. Now, in all my years of practice and in all the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've seen, it's a topic that comes up over and over again for so many people in one form or another. When you think about low self-esteem, it's something that a lot of us have had almost as a lifetime thing. It's something that you can't remember not having low self-esteem. Often in children, it's called shyness, which is then exacerbated by, you know, many other things such as, you know, poor social contacts, etc., etc. What will happen is people all through one way or another, through kind of cleverness or just a good fortune or whatever, they can almost seem to be the most confident person in the world. And then suddenly a something, and it could be anything, a something could happen. And that's it. They've lost their self-esteem. They've lost their self-confidence. But to be honest, when I deal with clients like that, we do a little bit of exploration into what their backgrounds have been, and it turns out that actually they've almost been walking a wire all this time and they haven't looked down, and it's kind of done them really well all their lives. It's often a career thing, and suddenly they look down and that was it. That was their confidence gone. But when you look into their background, they haven't come from a very confident inducing background. I'm going to come on to backgrounds a little bit in a minute. What I wanted to do was just illustrate when I talk about low self-esteem with a former client of mine, who again, with all my clients that I use to illustrate my podcast, I have sought permission for, a guy that is called Richie, and he was really into classic cars. And he wanted to go to all the rallies. He was particularly into American cars and he wanted to travel, but he just couldn't do it. He just did not have that belief in himself that he was able to do this. Still lived at home with his mum and dad through kind of finances, financial reasons. And when we did a little bit of scratching around and exploration, what happened was we found that it didn't actually take too long that his mum, for whatever reason, you know, we didn't kind of, you know, she wasn't my client, he was, but for whatever reason, was desperate to keep Richie close to her. And from a very young age, from the absolute, you know, moment he can remember, she would sabotage any attempts that he had about kind of developing and expanding himself. You know, when they would go on holiday, say, for instance, they went on, you know, one holiday a year. And that was the time that she would overfeed him a breakfast to ensure that he got car sick, and almost predicted it because she'd say to the taxi driver when they got in the car, oh, you know, you're going to have to pull over in a minute because he's going to be sick. And these are the things that he kind of took with him, that belief that he, you know, he wasn't a very good traveller in this respect. And these were the things that stopped him, you know, having that belief that he was able to go to the States and go on to, you know, his conferences and his rallies and things. You know, social problems. I talked about shyness a second ago. That's really typical of a low self-esteem. You know, obviously anxiety, your heart rate, you know, mouth goes dry, all those things. Another symptom is the inability to take compliments. You know, if somebody says something like, oh, you've got a nice pair of shoes on today, or, you know, well, your haircut's nice or whatever, you kind of instantly believe, not necessarily what does that person want from me, but you just can't, it just doesn't sit comfortably with you because you're not the type of person that gets compliments. Accentuating the negative. So anything that happens to you, you know, rather than thinking that the good things are good and they should happen to you, that's just something that should have happened to somebody else, but you just happen to be getting their good luck. And actually all the negative stuff should be coming with you. Overly concerned with what other people think of you. Again, these are all things that are kind of really entrenched in how people have been brought up. Being a pleaser, that's an absolute, you know, real key low self-esteem symptom, that you spend your entire life putting others before you, you know, and what it is, you're hoping eventually that, you know, if you put so much good out there and so much pleasing out there, that some of it will eventually come back to you. But of course, what happens is that you tend to be surrounded by people that are just willing to take you pleasing them. And often in relationships, people with low self-esteem will have not just kind of, family relationships, which we've just established can be a bit iffy, but also social relationships. They'll end up having very toxic friends, people that will be using them. Or in romantic relationships, I'm going to spend another podcast talking about kind of coercive partners, but they are on the permanent, and all I'm going to say is they're on the permanent lookout for that vulnerable person that has that, limited level of self-esteem. And so they can use them because that's what they're on the lookout for. So these are very, very kind of typical things. And one of the things that come with low self-esteem is something called imposter syndrome, which I'm going to spend a little bit later an entire podcast talking about. But that feeling that you're in a position that you shouldn't be in. So these are all very, very common and typical symptoms of low self-esteem. So we need to have a root around into exactly what had happened. And with Richie's situation, he had a mum that didn't want to let him go. When he'd gone to school, he was really chronically bullied and he didn't feel that he could actually take this home because he didn't think that his mum would be that interested, or his dad for that matter. So he just continued to be bullied. So he had a kind of like a catalogue throughout his entire life, and he wasn't allowed to have many friends. As a young child, children tend to make friends, but it was put off. He was never allowed to go around to anybody's house. He was certainly not allowed ever to have anybody kind of come round with him. So there was lots going on for poor Richie in the background. And of course, it was currently exacerbated because he was still living at home, so that never kind of helped. So I want to come on to what we did. So we had a little route around and we did some graded exposure. And one of the things I got him to do was to go off to the airport, just to go to know what it was like to go to an airport, not get on a plane or anything. And yes, it was nervous for him. And he went on the train and he got there. And he actually, when he came back for a session, he actually said one of the things that he found really comforting, because of course, one of the things his mum had been saying for these years and years was, oh, you can never go on a plane. Planes have crashes, terrible things happen to planes. You must never go on a plane. And of course, and had kind of really highlighted the threat that goes on with air travel these days. And one of the things he said that he found really helpful and really useful was he saw the police walking around, with their guns strapped to them at the airport. And he got chatting with one of the security guards who was telling him, how they have such an emphasis on security in airports these days, which he found, really useful and really helpful. So I want to come to some top tips. Look, as we did with Richie, with his mum, and he managed to get away. The good news about Richie was he did manage to get away actually on his holiday. That gave him a huge amount of confidence, and eventually he was able to find his own little place, and all was good for him. And he even got he changed his job as well. That was the other thing. And he even actually met somebody on the internet. So, as far as I know, things turned out quite well for Richie. So we've got to look about where it's come from. Are they maintaining it? And in Richie's case, obviously that was happening. Avoiding any negative self-talk and that internal critic that a lot of people with low self-esteem have, because that critic often has a name. And in Richie's case, it turned out to be his mum, but it could be other people. It could be a sibling. It could be a teacher. It could be a colleague at work. There's people's internal critics that people with low self-esteem are apt to listen to. Are often, let's name them and put them to the side, because people will often talk about the big dark cloud above them or behind them. I like to kind of get people to imagine they're at the side and they're as far away as possible, because they're in sight and they're controllable. If they're behind you or above you, they're not in sight, in your kind of psyche sight, and you won't, it feels more difficult to be able to control that negative critic. Being assertive. Richie had to be assertive with his mum, because of course, in the moment he said that he was going to be, going to the airport or going on a plane or something, it was instantly, oh no, you can't do that, etc., etc. But he was assertive with her. He explained that he's an adult, he's allowed to do these things. He wasn't aggressive, don't become aggressive, but he was assertive. Celebrate any achievements and focus on them. So any tiny little things, they're your building blocks of your self-esteem. So any tinsy tiny little things that you do and you do well, celebrate them. Even if it's just literally a metaphorical tap on your own shoulder. any challenges, like Richie wanted to go away, you know, rise to them, see what you can do about them, be practical about them, save for them, whatever it is you need to do, and change your story. You don't have to be the person that other people might think you are and exacerbate that because it suits them. Self-affirmation. You know, I'm not expecting you to walk past a mirror, you know, and preen and tell yourself how marvellous you are every 5 minutes. But if you do something well, then tell yourself that you do it well. Don't compare. That's another top tip. Stop comparing yourself. You know, social media these days. Oh, I'm here. I'm there. I'm the most marvelous person in the world. And of course, somebody with low self-esteem. You know, it's like a, you know, it's the absolute nail on the head to an awful lot of people. So, you know, don't compare yourself. You know, have people that you admire. That's great. But don't compare yourself. And just remember, my vital top tip is just don't listen to that inner critic. We have enough critics in the world, genuine critics, all of us, so don't kind of emphasize and invent another one that's in our own internal critic, because again, you're kind of used to it's the square peg in a square hole type of syndrome, but we're trying to kind of change things for you. I have been Dr. Jane. I hope you found this useful, and I will speak to you again very, very soon.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to hear future episodes. Dr. Jane can be found on all the usual social media. Feel free to get in contact for topics and questions for future episodes of Dr. Jane's Positive Mental Health podcasts. Dr. Jane cannot enter into personal correspondence. If you have an emergency or crisis, contact your GP or emergency services.